And with me in the KRVS studios this afternoon are Professor John Troutman, who is an associate professor of history here at UL Lafayette, and graduate students from the history program, Eric Scott, Adrian Stratton, and Annie Mahoney, who are here to talk about an amazing project going on over there called Museum on the Move. And I guess I shouldn't say over there because it's not stationary. That's the great thing about this project. It is on the move. It's a museum, and it is in the most amazing space. It's going to be in an Airstream trailer. You all are here to talk about the project and an opportunity for the public to see this space, this moving historical history space. It will be next Tuesday at the Alumni Center on the UL campus, and people are going to be invited to come in and see what you all have been doing. So there's a lot going on in the history department. I know we had some of you in here not too long ago to talk about Acadiana Historical, which is an app on the move, which allows people to move around our state and find out about the history of our state, all kinds of different areas. And you can just do it with your little device, whether it's a phone or an iPad or anything like that. So incredible things going on over there. You all are being extremely creative about your resources and in using the talents of your graduate students. John, we're going to start off with you talking about the inception of this project, how it got started, and how it moved on to an Airstream trailer and the history of that acquisition. So how did you all come up with the idea for this project?
Well, we have a graduate program in public history. We train a number of different types of historians in the grad program, but a lot of our students are going into fields in public history. They want to work in museums or work in historic preservation and so forth. And so we're always looking for ways to provide them with hands-on experience that they can put on their resumes and that they can apply in their chosen, you know, paths, their chosen fields. And so a couple of years ago, three of the faculty members from our history department were attending a conference in Milwaukee, a Public History Association meeting, Chad Parker and Bob Carricker and myself. And at some point, we saw some sort of a presentation where professors were working with students in another department to develop kind of these transit museums, museums where you could kind of pull them in an RV or something like that, or in a van, where you could develop exhibits inside these vehicles and transport them to different parts of the state. And we thought, well, that's a really great idea. That's interesting. But we didn't really know exactly what we could do with that idea. But we were very fortunate in the sense that recently one of our former students, Jamie Gilbo, who passed away, he and his mother left our program a substantial amount of money that we could use to develop public history initiatives such as this. So we realized that, you know, now we have an opportunity. We can actually think about building a mobile museum laboratory, something that each new group of graduate students could take advantage of every year. They could develop their own exhibits. We could take them kind of throughout the state. And then we thought, well, what's the most appropriate vehicle for developing a mobile museum laboratory? And we just all overwhelmingly thought, well, we got to get an Airstream. I mean, we've
something with historical value.
It's got to go into an Airstream.
Yeah, so. No newfangled RV for y'all.
So then we started hunting for a trailer. And after several months, we identified a 1954 Airstream that was sitting in a small town outside of Birmingham, Alabama. And it was a 23-foot-long trailer. And we saw pictures of it and thought, well, this looks like it might be, you know, a good one. And so we began working with the person who was selling it. We had an inspector go out there and take a look at it. Everything looked good. So Chad Parker and I drove up I guess early February, up to Birmingham and out to pick up the trailer. And it, you know, was completely outfitted with the original cabinets and kitchen and toilet and shower and all.
From the 1950s. Yeah,
exactly.
Oh, my. Well, really. I'm sure there was something of the historian in you that thought, that should be preserved too. Well,
it was a question, you know. I mean, because they were just, you know, they're just these beautiful mid-century cabinets and, you know, it's a very historical vehicle in itself. But we thought about, you know, well, how are we going to do this? So now we have a trailer. We brought it back all the way to Lafayette. And how are we going to build exhibits inside it? At that point, we engaged one of the industrial design professors, Corey Saft, who was very interested in the idea. And he developed a course in the early summer where his students began to think about ways to convert the trailer into an exhibit gallery. And they came up with some wonderful ideas for the design of the renovation of the trailer, just spectacular, really, in a very short amount of time. And so we were very excited about this. We were also concerned. We didn't know, like, you know, if we could swing it, if we could afford to make this happen or not with the funds that we did have available to us. But we, you know, came up with some basic ideas of what we wanted to do with the trailer. And at that point, we could fast forward to the beginning of the fall semester. We had to then quickly move to renovate the trailer, to gut the trailer, because we decided that there was really no way we could do this unless we got rid of those beautiful objects that were once inside it.
To unless fit you enough create people another museum exhibit somewhere else with all those pieces.
Well, I know, I know.
And you decided you wanted to have it road ready by the end of the semester.
Yes. Kind of a self-imposed deadline. Totally ridiculous.
I wish people could see pictures of your graduate students' faces because they know how this is gone.
It's completely ridiculous that we thought that we could do this.
So I'm going to ask you, we're going to talk about some of y'all's initiatives and your parts in the project, but you remember when this happened, when the trailer pulled up, you all saw the trailer in its original state?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Eric is particularly nodding. Yep. And so you've seen the gutting process and been a part of, and you are a part of kind of the planning of the structure of the exhibit. So you're really aware of what went on. Well, what were you feeling as this process was going on? Did your heart kind of wonder if it would happen by the end of the semester when you first saw what had to be done?
Yes, without a doubt. You know, there was some skepticism throughout the semester. But we all, you know, persevered, and mm-hmm. it's going to open Tuesday. But yeah, I was part of the design team along with Claire Robbins and Christian Fontenot.
Now, are these part of Corey Saf's team, or did you work with them at all, or did they do some design work and then handed it over to you all?
No, they're part of the public history program.
Okay,
here.
All right.
I'll just clarify real quickly because I want to give credit all the way around before we get into these students mm-hmm, and what they've been mm-hmm. doing. Corey's students developed some great plans for us to work with. In the spring semester, in addition to this, Mary Farmer Kaiser, who's also a professor in the history department, developed a course on Louisiana women. And our idea was that she would develop kind of the research materials with her students that we would then take with us into the fall. And so then our students were charged this fall with, you know, not only trying to figure out how to turn this trailer into an exhibit, but figure out what the content exactly was going to be of the exhibit. So I'll let them go from there. But I wanted to
give a
shout out to Mary.
And as you said, to give you know, kudos to everyone involved in this. It's really wonderful how different departments here at the university work together. And talking about a professor in design and architecture offering his students to help out with this project. But that fits in very nicely, too, with the architecture department's desire to go into the public and work with community design as well. Mm-hmm. So this was even getting them further afield, helping with this project. So some great collaborations all around in this project. I want to let people know, if they're just tuning in, we're talking about Museum on the Move, which is a collaborative project, but focused on the through the history department, an Airstream trailer from the 1950s that has been outfitted into a moving museum. The project has moved very rapidly. It is almost complete and mm-hmm. will be ready for public viewing this coming Tuesday, the 10th, when it will be at the Alumni Center. And all of you listening and your friends and family can go and see what the history department has been working on. So you had this course that Mary Farmer Kaiser was working on, and so you incorporated the course, the themes of the course. You had this trailer. You had a lot of physical activity that had to go on to get the trailer ready. So after the students from Corey Saf's class helped you with the design, you had to get rid of the stuff inside, and it wasn't your graduate students who pulled everything out. You actually contracted someone.
That was above our pay grade.
Okay.
Yeah. We hired John Steinman, who just did a remarkable job with the trailer and is continuing to work with us even after he's completed essentially his task. But I'll let the students describe the process of what the trailer looked like as he renovated it.
What did it look like? Give us a picture of it.
Well, there were several occasions in which Claire and Christian and I had to go out to take measurements at the trailer. And I remember a couple times in particular, we were walking across a rusted frame as the ground or the floor of the trailer had been torn up so they could dig out what ultimately they found was a rat's nest.
So a historical rat's nest probably from who knows how many decades ago.
Surprise. So
it was rusted on the bottom. Did you all have to do anything to...
That was another nice surprise.
Yeah, it was decaying. I believe the actual shell came off kind of at one point.
That's right.
Okay, so the inspectors that you originally sent over there
didn't really work out so
well. To give it to them, they couldn't have ripped up the floor.
That's true.
So you're really getting some real-world experience here, Eric. Your design team is realizing that you're not always going to be handed this perfect space in which to set up your exhibits.
No, we definitely had to work within the confines of a 1954 Airstream trailer, which, you know, was doable. Our job was essentially to draft and present different design concepts for panels and the layout, how to install everything in the trailer, the flow of the trailer. Several of our design concepts were inspired by the industrial design course that, you know, worked hard on their projects over the summer. Ultimately, the one that we chose is actually a derivative of one of their presentations. But yeah, it was a very fun process, and it just kind of reaffirmed for me personally that I definitely want to go into the museum field. And
this is fun.
Yeah, it is. It really is. You know, it's frustrating at times, but it was a great experience.
Well, okay, so don't just leave us with the rusted floor
here.
You chose a design from the industrial design class. Now, did you all actually have to do the carpentry, or did this
actually, we are this weekend doing some carpentry.
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
But I'm sure our listeners are imagining this skeleton of a trailer with a rusted floor. How did you coat it? What did you cover it up with? What design did you all choose to create this interior?
Well, that was actually John's work installing the new floor, which he did a fantastic job of.
So you're instilling in them that not only do they have to study and do research, but they have to be able to use a hammer too. They're going to work in a museum.
Well, I mean, again, I mean, we just have to give credit to John Steinman because he really was very kind of interested in the project. He kind of took it on, I think, to help us as much as anything else because he just thought it was a great idea. And but he found a wonderful hardwood floor that he could install into the trailer. He was able to remove their all kinds of problems inside the trailer in terms of the cosmetic issues. Mm-hmm. And he has just turned it into – it looks like a museum exhibit. It looks like an exhibit space when you walk inside. It's really incredible. And so we're really excited about the end result. And the great thing about it is that after this hard work was accomplished this semester, that work is over. You know, I mean, these students had to put up with a lot of concern over whether or not this would actually happen this semester because of the nature of the trailer. But this – now it's kind of at a place where each year – students will be able just to move directly into the work of developing the exhibits. Right. And
y'all are going to be like the old timers who say, you know,
it's
nothing. We had to like deal with rat's nests.
Right.
But your group of student, I mean, when you go out into the world, nothing's going to faze you. You know, someone's going to show you a shack and say, we want to put an exhibit space in here. You go, no problem.
Done.
We can do that. We've seen it happen. So they've got an amazing experience, this first crop here who's worked on Museum on the Move. So you all are working on three different teams. Eric, I believe you're working on, I guess, the design of the exhibit itself. And Adrian, you're working on the education component of this particular exhibit.
Yes.
And Annie, you've been working on the text that accompanies this exhibit. All very important aspects of any exhibit, whether it's in a museum, an Airstream trailer, no matter where you're going to set something up, these components are always a part of what you're going to have to do. So we've heard a bit about what Eric's been doing, but even though you have been finally handed this beautiful, gleaming new hardwood floor and nice interior, you're still having to work with panels and just the structure of how you're going to set it up inside.
Yeah, the next task is basically installing the panels and developing the infrastructure to basically support the exhibit. We have to develop a museum case, still an exhibit case. So that's our task for the weekend.
All right. But, I will say that on top of the panels that the students have developed in terms of creating the text, and Annie and Adrian can speak to the content of this specific exhibit. But we've also had to hunt down images from different archives in the state and hunt down objects. And one of the people that we're featuring in this exhibit is Governor Blanco. And she's generously provided us with some wonderful objects that the students can talk about that we're also going to find a way to fit into the trailer this weekend. It's going to be a mad dash.
That's the operative word, fit in, I would think, because we are talking about an Airstream trailer.
That's right.
This is not a huge museum space. So you're having to make decisions about what to put in there, and I'm sure that plays into all of your projects. What do you choose? What do you cut out? So you mentioned Governor Blanco. She is one woman in Louisiana. There are many who have been a part of this past century, because you are calling it Louisiana Woman in a Century of Change, unless you're talking about this century, this new century.
A century, meaning about 100 years of change. Okay. That's how we're using it.
So we are talking about 100 years of change for Louisiana women in an Airstream trailer. Mm-hmm. So give us the dimensions. I think, John, you mentioned 23 feet long. Mm-hmm. And how wide
about
is it?
8 feet wide.
Eight feet wide.
Okay. A little over 170 square feet or so, right?
Okay. 1 square foot for every woman in 100 years. So who are you including? Who was involved in choosing? Would that be you, Annie, or Adrian? Were you more involved in making some of those choices?
Well, I was in the Louisiana Women's History class last semester along with one of the other students.
This is Dr. Farmer Kaiser's class.
Yes, mm-hmm. Along with one of the other students in our museum studies class. And what we started the semester off with, 40 biographies that were written by the students in Mary Farmer Kaiser's class. And so we had to very democratically figure out not only how to narrow the amount of women down, but also to do it in a meaningful way that that made sense, a theme that could connect them all together. And when we looked at it, because justifications could be made for every single woman that we had a biography for. So what we ended up with is we had to come up with a meaningful way to sort of have a beginning and an end. And so that's how we came up with this rough century. And that we look at that century and as a time in which there was a large amount of change occurring in Louisiana for Louisiana women. And the underlying theme that connects all the women is activism. And so that process was very, different groups were given different biographies. And so we kind of split up into teams and brainstormed about different themes that we could use to connect the women together in a meaningful way. And then also have an effective use of the space, understanding that we couldn't have 20 women, that we couldn't have 15 women. And then it kind of gets narrowed down and narrowed down. We can't even have 12 women.
How many made the cut?
We have 10. We have 10 women. Okay. And so the space started to kind of define what we could and couldn't do. And so we had to make that make sense. And we did that in the most democratic way we possibly could. There was some arguing.
There was some struggle.
There was some arguing. But essentially, we're all really happy with the end result.
Well, what an amazing exercise as well, because I'm sure as, young graduate students, you're very idealistic thinking, I'm going to conquer the museum world and put up these amazing exhibits. But you are constrained by space or funding or other aspects that will constrain what you can put in your exhibit. Mm-hmm. So 10 Louisiana women, and it's chronological, I guess. So who's the earliest woman?
Eliza Nicholson.
Eliza Nicholson. And what is she known for?
She was the first female publisher of a major newspaper, and that was the Times-Picayune in New Orleans.
So Louisiana had the first woman major publisher of a major newspaper. Mm-hmm. That's incredible, just to know that very fact. And then is Governor Blanco the last,
I believe
the most
so.
Recent person in the exhibit?
Yeah. Well,
There are, I guess, three women that are still alive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That are featured in the exhibit.
Rowena Spencer and...
Caroline Dorman.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Maybe we should just name them all. And so these are 10 women over the past century who have been known for their activism. So can you remember all of them?
I sure can. Okay. So we have...
you fought for them.
Eliza Nicholson, mm-hmm. Sarah Talis Reed, who fought for teacher equality in New Orleans, Governor Blanco. We have Lindy Boggs, Wilma Subra, Caroline Dorman, Ollie Tucker Osborne, Georgia Johnson, and Aretha Castle Haley.
And I think people listening right now may not know a lot of those names.
So. Oh, and Rowena Spencer.
Rowena Spencer. So you all will be bringing historical characters to the public that they may not have heard of before. So you really, mm-hmm. I mean, what an amazing opportunity for you all. And you get to bring it to students. You get to bring it to wherever you want to go, parking lots and grocery stores even, I guess you could. So there are challenges with just designing the exhibit. Mm-hmm. There are challenges in deciding what's going to be in the exhibit. And you have to decide how best to present that information. I guess you're trying to figure out who your audience will be. Is this exhibit primarily going into the schools? Will it go to grades K through 12? Who is your audience, Adrian?
Well, I know as far as the education portion, when we developed lesson plans and quizzes and things like that, we, Crystal Bertrand and I, who's the other member of the education team, tried to focus on eighth grade. And so therefore, I think that the lesson plans and things that we're offering can be edited to either fit, you know, fifth or sixth grade students or on up into high school. But it was a nice happy medium. And plus, Louisiana history is taught in eighth grade. So I think as far as public schools, that's the general area that we're going to target.
Okay. And now we come to the text, because that's a very important part of any exhibit. We spend a lot of time reading information. I think we all feel lost when we're just looking at artifacts or looking at photographs and we don't have the text to accompany it. So I'm sure that your job had its own challenges, just like theirs did,
yes.
with a minimal amount of space and trying to pare that down. So what were some of the challenges that you faced?
Well, like Adrian said, we started as a whole class to pick the women. So once we had the women narrowed down to 10, we then decided to, for the script team, we then tried to figure out how to divvy up the women, or were we all going to write together? Are we going to split the women up? And we ended up writing, you know, taking two biographies, paring it down, researching, getting the rights for images and any artifacts or reproductions we were going to make. And one of my classmates, Daniel Manuel, actually did, I think, a lot of the work. He was our editor, so to speak. He took all our pared down biographies and turned them, you know, made sure they're the right length, same right structure, because it needed to be coherent throughout the exhibit, correct? And so once we had all these different biographies written by all these different people, we then had to make it sound like one voice throughout and label anything we had.
So I know people hate to be asked who their favorite is for an exhibit like this, but was there one that you particularly developed an affection for?
Yes. Yes. Well, one of the ones I wrote for was Eliza Nicholson, and she has a really interesting story. She wrote as an author under the pseudonym Pearl Rivers for a while, and I love just looking at her poems, or the archive in New Orleans has like some of her stuff, like her writing utensils, and so I really
she was
liked
the publisher of the newspaper.
Yes, the
yes.
Picayune.
Okay. Well, you're mentioning artifacts, so maybe we can talk about what artifacts you all found and how you are arranging them in this exhibit. And there's also, I guess, the challenge that this is a moving museum. Mm-hmm. It's not stable. You put something in, you know, a gallery in most museums, and it stays right there, and there's no vibrations, and you know, they're not being jostled around. So, what kinds of artifacts did you all choose for this exhibit?
Well, a bulk of the artifacts have been donated by Governor Blanco.
Okay.
So that's primarily what we are going to show in the exhibit. We do have a reproduction of a button.
Yes, from a 1988 campaign button for Lindy Boggs. It says, "We love Lindy." So,
mm-hmm. Already cool. Getting to be a vintage item there.
I mean, you really speak to one of the concerns, which is, you know, what role should artifacts have? And then it gets a bit of the sort, you know, where we're going to be taking it to schools and taking it to festivals and to, you know, book festivals and music festivals and locations all over the state. And what sorts of responsibilities do we have to care for these objects? And that was kind of another component of the class and thinking about what to bring into the trailer. Governor Blanco was extremely generous in sharing with us some kind of wonderful objects. And we can only probably place a handful of them at the end in the exhibit. And we're going to establish a protocol for securing those objects. You know, I mean, we're going to be very careful because they're extremely meaningful from her various runs for political office and meaningful for the state of Louisiana and for the history of the state. And so, you know, when those objects are shown, somebody's going to be standing next to them. Yes. So that nothing
Something
happens to
else
them.
Your students are learning about security.
That's right. And I used to work as a security guard in a museum when I was an undergraduate, so I know a thing or two about
experience
that.
Experience to share with your students. Yeah. But absolutely, security, climate control, this is a That's different right. arena for exhibit spaces, historical exhibit spaces. If you are just tuning in, my guests are with the History Department, Professor John Troutman. He's Associate Professor of History here at UL Lafayette, and three graduate students in the Public History Program, Eric Scott, Adrian Stratton, and Annie Mahoney, all are working on Museum on the Move, which is an actual 1954 Airstream trailer that has been transformed into a gallery space. And it will be open to the public this coming Tuesday, December 10th. And it's very nice because right after that, the UL Press book sale is going to take place in the Alumni Center. So you can go to see the museum and then head into the sale to buy some history books and culture books about Louisiana. So it's a great little segue there, and you get to see this amazing project that the History Department has engineered through the help of many others, including the Industrial Design Department here at UL Lafayette, other professors. And you mentioned Dr. Mary Farmer Kaiser, whose class has fed into this particular exhibit. But each year, you're going to be choosing a different professor to create a class that will then be transformed into an exhibit.
That's right.
Okay. And so will any of you be here next year, or are you all finishing up this year? Are you going to be here for another year? Eric?
Ideally, I won't be.
Ideally. I like when he says that. You're hoping to graduate before that next exhibit comes around. Adrian, will you?
I'm actually graduating in December in a couple of weeks, so I will not be around to see with my own eyes where the exhibit goes, where the museum goes. But I'm confident.
To a parking lot near you.
Well, I don't know. I'm confident that Eric will keep me posted.
All right. Well, I'm sure we will all look forward to seeing what happens. And Annie, are you finishing up soon as
in
well?
May, yes.
Okay. So this is part of the crowning part of your graduate experience.
Absolutely.
Here. And you will be handing this beautiful space onto a new crowd of graduate students in the coming year. Mm-hmm. So they won't have to deal with rust, with rats, with anything like that. So many of those issues will have been worked out, and you're going to hand them these wonderful. Absolutely. So you see, you got it all. Well, we look forward to hearing about projects in the future. You hopefully will have one each year.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure Museum on the Move will have its own social networking page.
We do. And thanks to Annie, we have a website, museumonthemove.omeka.net, that Annie has been developing for us. We have a Facebook presence of some sort that the students put together for us. We are in the process in both areas documenting this whole kind of development of the trailer concept and everything that kind of happened along the way. And we're also developing expanded materials for the exhibitions themselves. So even when we change the exhibits each year, we'll have a virtual presence that documents all the work that the students accomplished of the course of the semesters.
Well, and I can imagine you all inspiring other programs around the country to try the same thing, and you've given them somewhat of a blueprint to to accomplish that. Well, congratulations on achieving this wonderful space, Museum on the Move, again, through the UL History Department with amazing collaborations around the university. Museum on the Move will have its inaugural opening this Tuesday, December 10th. All are invited to go in and see the work, see the trailer, and see the exhibit that these graduate students have put together over the past semester. This Tuesday in the alumni parking lot, is that in the front or in the back? Where will it be located?
I think we're going to put it in the front.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in 4:30. The circle.
Yeah.
So if you can make it over there, how long will you all, your doors be open?
4:30 until 7.
Okay.
So we'll have kind of a ceremony at 4:30 of sorts and discuss, you know, kind of talk about the trailer and dedicate it. And then we'll have lots of food, lots of things to drink and eat. And we'll all kind of meander into the book sale. And I think Zachary Richard's going to perform.
Yes, in fact, so. I think they're waiting in the lobby. Actually, oh. They're going to come to talk about that sale. So it was perfect little segue
perfect.
There. Yeah, so a great, great day to celebrate what's happening here at UL. The History Department's Museum on the Move, 4:30, Tuesday the 10th. It's open until 7 on that day, as will the UL Press book sale as well. Thank you all. Again, graduate students Eric Scott, Adrian Stratton, and Annie Mahoney working on Museum on the Move as one of their many projects in their public history graduate studies here at UL Lafayette, and Professor John Troutman from the History Department. Thank you all.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you.